It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep. Later today, the Federal Reserve will take some extraordinary action. It is not a $100 billion rescue of a Wall Street firm. At this point, that would count as almost normal. What the Fed will do is take a step to better explain itself. Ben Bernanke will become the first Fed chairman in history to hold a full-fledged press conference. The plan is to talk with reporters once every 3 months. NPR's John Itzee reports.
It may come as a surprise, but for some people, there's a bigger media event this week than the royal wedding.
Definitely, which shows what a strange world I live in, the first news conference by a Fed chairman.
Do you know what day the royal wedding is?
I do, Friday.
Alan Blinder has an excuse. He's a former vice chairman of the Federal Reserve who has pushed for more openness at the central bank. He thinks press conferences are a good idea.
I think the Fed basically has a good story to tell and very little to hide, but it's given the impression to a lot of people that it has a lot to hide, so I think it can do some good in that domain. On the other hand, is it going to get Ron Paul to stop worrying and love the Fed? I doubt it.
Texas Congressman Ron Paul has called for abolishing the Federal Reserve. Vincent Reinhardt, a former Fed official, says the central bank's decision to hold press conferences is partially a response to criticism spawned by the financial crisis when the government rescued Wall Street firms that it said were too big to fail.
But when they say too big to fail, a lot of people hear, I'm just too little to be helped. And so the Fed is seen as an instrument of tilting the playing field in favor of the big guy.
While explaining its response to the recent crisis might be part of the impetus behind the press conferences, Reinhardt says the Fed has actually been on a nearly 20-year journey towards more openness. Remember, there was a time when Fed chairmen like Alan Greenspan were intentionally opaque.
Should these trends towards supply and demand balance persist, the ongoing need for ever-rising imports and for a further draining of our limited labor resources should ease or perhaps...
Well, you get the idea. In fact, the Fed's approach to communicating a couple of decades ago was labeled constructive ambiguity. It was thought that policy changes could be most effective if the markets were surprised by the Fed's moves. But that changed midway through Alan Greenspan's tenure, says Alan Blinder.
And Alan Greenspan was no longer making these famous or infamous statements, which he had made before, like saying, well, if you understood what I meant, I must have misspoken.
The idea now is that the Fed can do better by making its intentions clearer to the markets. Blinder says press conferences certainly won't solve all the Fed's communication problems, and there are some risks.
A central banker will occasionally make a slip and not put something artfully and be misinterpreted, and so on.
But central bankers in the United Kingdom, the European Union, Japan, and Canada all hold regular press conferences, and Blinder says research indicates they have a positive impact. Vincent Reinhardt says the news conferences will likely give Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke more power to frame what happened at the Fed meetings, which will precede each of the press events.
He gets to speak the week before anybody else gets to speak. Because for the rest of the week, there's a blackout in which Fed Reserve officials are not supposed to talk to the public.
That's likely to weaken the arguments of dissenters. Reinhardt says this new mode of communication for the Fed could be particularly valuable in the coming months as the central bank ends its huge economic stimulus known as quantitative easing and begins the unpopular job of raising interest rates. John Itzee, NPR News, Washington.